The Hilchos Shabbos, according to the Mishnah, are karor matzli b'saru, which means that there are major areas of halacha. You could fill bookshelves full of Hilchos Shabbos, and there's nothing in Torah Shabbosav. There's kimat nothing in Torah Shabbosav. It has very little in Torah Shabbosav. Shein mikra muat v'halachos merubos. Very little psukim and a lot of halachos. So even though there's not much in Torah Shabbosav about Hilchos Shabbos, there are two malachos that are mentioned in Chumash, and each time the each melacha that is mentioned in Chumash, the Gemara is bothered by why they're mentioned in Chumash, or the Rishonim are at least bothered why is the melacha mentioned in Chumash, if after all the Mishkan is the basis for all of the melachas of Shabbos, as we well know. Anyone who does Shnai Mikra with Rashi knows that the juxtaposition of melacha Shabbos and melacha HaMishkan is the basis for all melacha, for knowing which are the melachas of Shabbos. So it doesn't have to spell them out, and yet the Torah spells out two of the melachas of Shabbos. Most famously? Havara, right? Havara is the most famous one. Someone advised me today that I should tell guys if they should or shouldn't speak out. If I say something that doesn't make sense, it's possible that it actually doesn't make sense. So don't assume, oh, he knows because he's, the guy saying the shir. I'm not like your previous rebbeim who are actual talmid chacham. Like many of you guys can learn a lot better than I can. So say something if I say something that doesn't make sense. And even if it doesn't make sense to you, say something. Or if you have a question or a ha'ara or a point or Safa, I'd much appreciate the back and forth a little bit. So the good. The Mishnah, but the Mishnah says it as in a more broader. I don't remember. The Gemara says that that's Dafka by Melachshin Suich Laguva. There are psukim about Melachas Shabbos. There's no psukim about identifying the Melachas of Shabbos. Right, that tell us what the melachos of Shabbos are. So the Gemara Chagiga says, I don't remember. The Gemara Chagiga Dafka defines it from Lachshin Tzrich L'Gufa, but nevertheless, at least as a melitza, then we can say the Sarar Metzliim Basara, because it doesn't actually identify the melachos. So there are two places, of course. There's Havara Lo Sivaru Eish B'Chol Mosh Vasechem B'Yom HaShabbos, and that of course leads to discussion in several places in Shabbos in Shas, but most notably for us Shabbos Taf Ayin, whether Havara is the Lav Yatzis, that's Divrei Rabbi Yossi, or Rabbi Nosson Omer, that it's the Chalik Yatzas, that Havara is singled out for some reason. That according to Rabbi Yossi, it's singled out to tell me that Havara is not a Malacha on Shabbos, that Havara is just a regular Lo Sasei. So you can say, what are you talking about? How could something be a Lo Sasei on Shabbos, be Asar on Shabbos, and not be a Malacha? That's not unusual. There are a lot of things that are Asar on Shabbos that are not a Malacha. Tchum Shabbos might be Midoraisa, and is still not a Malacha of Shabbos. Mechamer, Shvisas Behema, Shvisas Kalim. There are lots of things on Shabbos that may be usher, but are not a melacha. So it's just a regular losase, a run-of-the-mill losase. That's one shita. The other possibility is Rabbi Nassim Omer that it's the chalek, that Havara is not only is it a melacha, it's the paradigmatic example of a melacha. It is it is there to be held up as an example of that this, just like Havara, is separate from everything else, and you're chayef for Havara b'fnei atzmo, so too you're chayef for each and every melacha b'fnei atzmo. Meaning if you violate all 39 melachas of Shabbos, you're chayef b'shogeg b'helamechel, you're chayef 39 chata'os, right? If you're shogeg on the melacha. You're chayef 39 separate chiyuvim for each melacha of Shabbos. Each one is a separate chiyuv. That's Havara l'chalik. So that's what the Gemara is discussing. Now, obviously the basis of the discussion is that the Torah shouldn't have had to mention it at all, because malachas are already derived from the Mishkan. So according to Rabbi Yossi, kindling a flame is just another example of a non-malacha that's asur, whereas Rabbi Nassim knows that it's a paradigm. L'may nafkamina, whether it's a malacha or stam lo saseh, so there's several nafkaminas, but just a couple of them. There are more, but just a couple that come up. Let's take this one. The Gemara in Pesachim, Shiva learned Pesachim last year? What was it? Last year. Okay, so first parak? Yeah? Anyone remember? Yeah? Okay. So the Gemara at the beginning of Pesachim discusses that so there's a mitzvah of Tashbisu and Yom HaRishon. So what does Rishon mean? Does Rishon Tamei Karamash mean the day before, or Rishon mean the first of? Right? So Rabbi Kiva says, in the beginning of Pesachim, oh, Rishon has to mean the day before, because you can't burn your chametz on Pesach itself, because Havara is an Av Melacha. So it can't possibly be something that you're supposed to do on Pesach itself. So says Gemara, Shema Mina Mid Rabbi Akiva, Tlas. Right? We see three things that emerge from Shitas Rabbi Akiva. One of the two of them are obvious. One of them, the Gemara says, is that Havara is an Av Melacha. You see that he paskins like the Shita of Rabbi Nassan, that Havara is the Chalik Yatzis. That's how you see from Rabbi Akiva. Shema Mina Rabbi Akiva, that Havara is the Chalik. So says Tosos on the spot, how do you see that from Rabbi Akiva? He says you're not allowed to do it on Yantif. So how do you get that that's necessarily following Rabbi Akiva? According to Rabbi Nassim, you're also not allowed to do it on Yantif. So according to Rabbi Nassim, it's a lav. It's not a malacha. But you're still not allowed to do lavin. You're not allowed to do losa says. So how do you see from Rabbi Akiva that he holds like Rabbi Nassim? So Tosos has a couple of tirutzim. One also says that just the fact that he called it Av Malacha. Einochinami, there's nothing about the halacha that he said that teaches you that it's an Av Malacha. Just the fact that he calls it an Av Malacha tells you that he must hold that it's l'chalik and not l'lav. There's a chair over there. And not l'lav. So it's just by the name that he gives it. Another possibility, Tosa says, if I'm not mistaken, is whether it would apply to Yom Tov at all. Meaning maybe if it were just l'lav, maybe that's a lav in Hilchas Shabbos, but not a lav in Hilchas Yantif. Because how do I know all of the things I'm not allowed to do in Yantif? The Torah tells me that you're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov. Ach, asher yasal l'chal nefesh, l'vado yasal l'chem. Except for malacha sal l'chal nefesh, that you're allowed to do. But the core iser on Yantif is a los say of malacha. So I know I'm not allowed to do malachas Shabbos, or also malachas Yom Tov. But if something's not a malacha to begin with, so then it should be perfectly mutter to do on Yantif. So the fact that Rabbi Kiva says that it's also to do Avara on Yantif on the first day of Pesach, it must be Yom Zechalik, because if he were to hold Lulav, then it wouldn't even be Aser. That's how Tosfos says. That's a huge nafkamina, whether Lechalik or Lulav, whether something is a Malacha or it's not a Malacha. Does it apply in Yom Tov Bichlal? Right? That's how Tosfos seems to understand. There is a Rabbeinu Chananel that seems to understand a little bit differently in Masachas Pesachim. You have to figure out exactly what Rabbeinu Chananel means, but Pashtus, he means the following, that there is a principle in Kol HaTorah Kulo, Vaseh Docha Lo Saseh, right? So let's say you had a Lo Saseh that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Yom Tov. So what? I can't do Malacha on Yom Tov, but if I have a mitzvah to burn chametz, the mitzvah of burning chametz should be an Aseh Docha Lo Saseh. I should be allowed to burn chametz on Yom Tov anyway. Even if it is Aser, I should be allowed to burn chametz. Because Aseh is Docha Lo Saseh. However, the rule is Aseh is Docha Lo Saseh, but Ein Aseh Docha Lo Saseh Vaseh. What the mechanics of that rule are is a discussion in Minchas Chinuch, not for now, but the rule is that an asay cannot be dochalos asay vasay. Whether it's that the two asays cancel each other out, the asay is dochalos asay, then it's an asay vasay. Whatever it is, the rule is that ain asay dochalos asay vasay. Shabbos is not only an alos asay, Shabbos is also an asay. Shabbos is also an asay. Comes along the Rashban Yevamos. Why Yevamos? Because Yevamos is where you have the major sugi of Aseh Dochalos Aseh, right? When yeshivas learn Yevamos, they always discuss, will we spend the whole year in Aseh Dochalos Aseh, or only half the year, right? So Shabbos is the Rashban Yevamos in the sugi of Aseh Dochalos Aseh, says the Rashba that when comes to the Aseh of Shabbos, it's the Aseh of Shabbos is only Nogeya on Malachos of Shabbos. That refraining from Malacha is a fulfillment of Shabbos on Shabbos. It's a fulfillment of the Aseh as well. But anything that's not a Malachas Shabbos, there's not going to be an Aseh on something that's not a Malachas Shabbos. So says Rabbeinu Chananel, you know how we know that Rabbi Akiva holds the Chalik? Because Rabbi Akiva says that you're not allowed to burn your chametz on the first day of Pesach. Well, why? How do you see that? Because if he held that it was Lulav, so then it should have been Aseh Docha Los Aseh, because it's not a Malacha. You only have the Los Aseh. But now that he holds the chalik, now that he holds that Havara is a malacha, that means by definition that Havara is not only the assay of both Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it's all, not only the los assay, but it's also the assay of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And ein assay docha los assay v'assay. So that's how I know that you're not allowed to, that's how Rabbi Akiva knew that you're not allowed to burn the chametz on the first day of Pesach. So it turns out, a nafkamina between whether something is a malacha or something is just stam and iser is whether the assay associated with the malacha is associated with Shabbos is going to apply to that activity. That if it's a malacha, the assay associated also applies. And if it's not a malacha, then only if it's not a malacha, then the assay that's associated would not apply. There are other nafkaminas as well, but that's the basic idea, that the fact that the Gemara has to discuss why does the Torah say Lo Sevar Reish B'Chomel Shoseichem is based on the premise that the Torah really shouldn't have to say any malacha because we already know all of the malachos. The other exception where the Torah seems to identify a malacha not 100% explicitly but somewhat explicitly is the malacha of Hotza'ah. The Gemara Shabbos Tzadivav Beis Hotza'ah Gufa Heicha Ksiva. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra, Vayitzav Moshe, Vayaviru Kol B'machna. However, Vayaviru Kol B'machna means that there was Hotza'ah involved. Somehow the Gemara understood that that means that there is Hotza'ah. From the Pasuk, Heicha Ksiva. Where does it say Hotza'ah? The Gemara quotes a Pasuk that says Hotza'ah. Also, Al Yetzei Yashmim Kamo. There are places where the Torah identifies, that the Torah identifies Hotza'ah. So, the Gemara in Sadi Vavam Beis, for instance, discusses what malacha was the Mekoshesh Eitzim involved in. And the Gemara says that Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel Mekoshesh Mavir Abramos Purushas Rabim Hava. He was Hotza'ah. He was violating being Mavir Dalet Amos Purushas Rabim. That was his malacha. So maybe the Parsha of Mekoshesh is an explicit reference to Hotza'ah. So Tosos, at the very beginning of Masechah Shabbos, is bothered. Why in the world would the Torah need to tell me Hotza'ah? After all the malachos are Masechah Shabbos. So it says Tosos, v'nira l'ri, d'itzrich l'ashminan. Why does it have to tell me Hotza'ah? Why can't I learn it the way I learned 37 other malachos of Shabbos? Mishum d'otza'ah malacha gruahi. Because Hotza'ah is a malacha gruah. It's a second-rate malacha. D'mali motzi mirushos yachid rishos rab, mali motzi mirushos yachid rishos yachid. Hotza'ah is malacha gruah in that it is, normally a malacha is a creative activity, that something changes about the chefza. And when it comes to Hotza'ah, nothing changes about the chefza. If I pick up the shtender and I bring it outside on Shabbos, the shtender is the exact same shtender. The only thing that changed about it is the location. And that therefore makes it a malacha gerua. And he says, and that's why you need to, he says, v'teda, midisrich trei krai botza, that we need two psukim for otza'ah. And he says, hainim shum dum lacha gerua, yitzrich travayu. It's an inferior malacha, so we need a pasuk to teach that it's usher in the first place. And also, something found in the Mishkan is an av. And yet, Tosus goes on to say, hachnasa, into Urshus Yachid was also found in the Mishkan. Right? The Gemara says Shabbos Mem Tes. Heim Helu as a crushim mikarka la agala. They picked up the crushim and they brought them from the karka to the agala, which means they from Urshus Ram to Urshus Yachid. They did hachnasa in the Mishkan, and yet hachnasa is only a tolda, it's not an av. So Hotza'ah is like a yotzei min haklal kind of malacha. It doesn't seem to follow normal rules. The fact that the Torah has to mention it, the fact that even the way it happened in the Mishkan is not an av, that even the way it happened in the Mishkan, hachnasa, which is one of the ways it happened in the Mishkan, is only a tolda and not an av, Tosa says chalk all of those things up to the fact that it's a malacha gerua. And the idea of a malacha being yetzira, v'chidush, you know, that's how the definition Malacha normally is, and Hotza'ah is an exception to that. The Arzarua spells that out for us, right? He explains what the concept of Malacha Geruah is. The Malacha Geruah is that there's nothing, you're not being Mechadish anything. Yes?
Yeah, having Tosis takes on Hotza'ah, Dafka, when we're talking about, you know, Malacha Geruah, are there any other Malachos that would be Malacha Geruah?
No. Hotza'ah is Yotzei Min HaKlal, it's the only exception. And Tosis didn't pick it, the Torah did. Tosus comes up with the concept of Malacha Grua to explain why the Torah identified Hotza'ah. You don't have to identify Hotza'ah. It is worth contemplating, not for now, maybe We're not going to do much Hotzah, but it is worth contemplating. You know, we would not have known that Hotzah is Aser if not for the Pasuk. Good? Now that we have a Pasuk, meaning, what did Tosfos say? Because it's a Malacha Geruah, I never would have realized that it's a Malacha. So I needed a Pasuk to tell me that it's a Malacha. Okay, now good. I have a Pasuk that tells me it's a Malacha. Now is it the same as everything else? Or is it still different? Meaning, the fact that it's a Malacha Geruah, does that like change it? Or do we say, no, the fact that it's a Malacha Geruah impacts the Hava Amina. I wouldn't have known that there exists Hotza'a. Comes along the Torah and tells me, yes, there is, even though it's Malacha Geruah, it's still the Malacha. So maybe that's the Kamash Malan is, right? Very often the Gemara does that, right? The Gemara will say that Salkadei Chamina X, Kamash Malan, period. Right? So it's always the question. Kamash Malan what? Kamash Malan why? Kamash Malan X plus 2? Kamash, right? You always have to figure out what the Kamash Malan is. The fact that Hotzah is a Malacha Geruah is a Hava Amina, explains the Hava Amina of why I would not have thought there exists such a Malacha called Hotzah. Good, Kamash Malan, there is a Malacha called Hotzah. Is it the same as every other Malacha? Not for now, just something to file away. Where did the 39 Malachas come from? So the Gemara in Memtesim Beis tells us, Hadi Yasiv Kami Bayalu, Hadi Tanah and Avos Malachas Arbam Chasar Achas Keneged Mi. Where do these 39 Malachas come from? So I'm Lurbi Chanir Bercham Keneged Avodos HaMishkan. It relates to the Mishkan. And then the Gemara says, Arbashim Rabbi Yossi Ben Nekunya Keneged Malacha Malachto U Malacha Shebetorah Arbam Chasar Achas. And if you count up all the times that it says Malacha Malachto in the Torah, it will turn out to 39. Whether it does or doesn't, not relevant. The Gemara says it does. Okay, so somehow you count up the number, which is an unusual drasha, by the way. Which of the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben is that? Right, it's not on the list. It's not on the list of 13. It's a different one in the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben that you can count up the number of words and that means something. Any Daf Yomi people? Any Daf Yomi people? No longer? No one doing sukkah? Okay. So one day you'll be rabbis, you'll have to give a Daf Yomi shir, so you'll know that in sukkah, anaf eitz avos. How do I know three adasim? Because three words. And you count up the words, and that's how I know that you have to have that number. So apparently it is a midah. It's a midah that it comes up in certain places, but it sounds more like a gematria, right? It sounds more like a remes. A gematria might also be midah shatar and dreshben, right? The gemara nazir lin stam nazir shalashim yom from a gematria. So it might also be midah shatar and dreshben. But anyway, there is something about the Gemara says the number of times that he uses the word malacha. So why is it that we always knee jerk reaction? Where do I know 39 malachas from? Always ask any child on the street. I don't know, depending on the neighborhood, I guess. But you know, any 10th grader taking Hilchas Shabbos in high school, and he'll tell you from the Mishkan. We always learn it. We always learn it from the Mishkan. Why doesn't anyone ever say? Because you learn it from the number of times that it says malacha in the Torah. That it says some in some form that it says Malach in the Torah. Everyone always says the Mishkan. So the Ramban in Shabbos Memtes, the Ramban writes that it's not really a machlokas. He says Vaviyodeya Shaludivrei Kol Osad Malach Hashoyu B'Mishkan Chashuv Mekari Luav. Everyone agrees that it's based on the Mishkan. That the things he did in the Mishkan, that's called an Av, and whatever was not done in the Mishkan, that's called a Tolda. He says Dilavachi Lama Kara Laze Av Laze Tolda. Otherwise, how would we ever determine what's an Av and what's a Tolda? Meaning, if it was really just the number of times it said the word Malacha, how did they pick these 39? Right? You know, they chose on their own that Borer, Zora, and Merakit are going to be three separate ones, which the Gemara calls out as, how does that even work? They're exactly the same thing. You're just sorting out the good from the bad. And that was a Svara? That was a Svara? Says Ramban, it can't be that it was a Svara. It's all a limud from the Mishkan. It has to be that it was from the Mishkan. El lamar gomar kula milsam mishkan. El lamar hayu chamosin kulan avos. El shematzlan smach b'minyan malachos shebetorah. V'kivet sheyado minyan and lamdu chashivusan mimishkan. Okay, you have to figure out exactly what the Ramban means by that, but there's some sort of machlokas. Whether the machlokas is in the details. Everyone agrees it comes from the Mishkan. Question is, does it come exclusively from the Mishkan? Or is it also educated by the number of times that the Torah says, but then you bring it back to the Mishkan, and you say, okay, now that I know there are 39, because of the way the Torah says it, so now let's figure out what are the 39 in the Mishkan, right? To plug it back into the Mishkan. So everybody agrees, even Rav Shimon Rabbi Yossi ben Lukunya, that we learn Melech HaShabbos from Avodas HaMishkan. And the Gemara says it explicitly. Ein chayavin el al Melech HaShakiyotzi b'haisav b'mishkan, heim zaru v'atem lo tizru, heim katzru v'atem lo tiktzru. So otherwise you would never know what's an av and what's a told. It has to be from the Mishkan. And Rashi says this all over Chumash, right? Shmos Lamral of Yugimel, V'yata af al pi shef katatichol et savosam l'mach samishkan al yakal be'enech l'ilchus as HaShabbos. Even though I'm telling you, you got to make a Mishkan, Hashem says, don't think that it could be doch HaShabbos, m'nei also hiktim l'masar HaShabbos l'tzivoyim l'mach samishkan. And then Vayakel, he says, Rashi says, hiktim l'masar HaShabbos l'tzivoyim l'mach samishkan l'mar she'en doch as HaShabbos. That Shabbos comes first, right before the Mishkan, to say Shabbos is most important. You also got to build a Mishkan, but make sure you don't run afoul of Shabbos while you're building a Mishkan. Good. So it definitely comes from the Mishkan. The big discussion that the Eglei Tal has in the Psicha, I don't know if anyone had a chance to look, it's all I saw today in the morning, is the Psicha, the Eglei Tal. In the very beginning of the Psicha, he discusses the big machlokas, Rashi and Rav Haigel. What do we mean when we say that malachos are defined by what was done b'mishkan? What does b'mishkan mean? Does it mean what was done in the functioning of the Mishkan? What was done in the preparation of the building of the Mishkan? What exactly does b'mishkan mean? So Rashi's pretty clear about this. Rashi in Shabbos Daf Mem Tes, on that Gemara, that says, the Gemara says, Ein chayven al moch shekiyotzi b'ha'isa b'mishkan, heim zaru atem latizru, heim katzru atem latikzru. Rashi writes, heim zaru v'katzru, samanim l'tzvo atcheles. There it is. How long did it take me to say tcheles? Samanim l'tzvo atcheles. V'oros elim v'tachnu v'lashu nami samanim l'tzvoa. So everything was in preparing the materials that they needed to build the Mishkan. The hides and the skins and the dyeing and va'ofa diktani b'masis b'avos malachos. And when it says ofa as one of the 39 avos malachos, the most important mission in the whole Masechta is Ayin Gimel, right? It lists all the 39 malachos. So Ofa is listed as one of 39 malachos. Where did they ever bake in building the Mishkan? They didn't. They cooked in building the Mishkan. Rashi says, yeah, close enough. It's a bishul sabmanim. El dinakat sidur de pas. When it's listing the malachos, sometimes it's easier to list the malachos if you're listing them in some sort of sequence. So, you know, if you remember, like, how do I bake bread? You go to the store, you pay a couple of bucks, and you take it. But if, like, you actually wanted to bake, how do I bake bread? What would I need to do to bake bread? So you can go through in your head, and you can go through those steps. And that way, you have to remember, Mishnayos were written to be memorized. So that's Sidur. That's why it organized it as Sidur of the Pas, even though it's got nothing to do with Sidur of the Pas. It's really about the building of the Mishkan, right? There's nothing. We had a Geirus candidate recently, where Rabbi Ram, who's the head of our Geirus Beis Din, asked the young lady, are you allowed to open an umbrella on Shabbos? Why or why not? Which I thought was an unusually hard question to ask a Geirus candidate. Like, you're supposed to normally ask, like, what bracha do you make on an apple? Right? That's what you're supposed to ask. But he figured this woman could be challenged a little. So she said, okay, let me figure this out. She had never heard anything about this. So let me figure this out. 39 melachos of Shabbos. Then she listed them. She said, by heart, she said, the Sidur de Pas are, she said, the preparation of the bread ones are, blah, 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 blah. She broke it down into three categories, listed all the malachos. Probably most resembles building. But this isn't a permanent structure, it's temporary. She mamish, like, at the end, I wanted to give her a smicha, I didn't want to give her a gayrus. She mamish, unbelievable. I've never, like, seen anything like it. So Rashi tells us, yeah, of course there was never any Ofa in the preparation of the Mishkan, but it just puts it that way because it's easier in Sidur to pass. And again, on Ayin Gimel, in Dibra Maskala Ofa, Rashi writes, Love Mishkan, Tel Shaychel Bepas, Pas Tel Shaychel Belnachsa Mishkan. Bread's got nothing to do with Melachsa Mishkan. Now, bread has a lot to do with the running of the Mishkan. Each and every day, every Korban Mincha, there's a lot of baking that goes on in the Mishkan, right? You have Lechem Apanim, there's a lot of baking that happens in the Mishkan. So it must be, Rashi says, that when we're looking for malachos of the Mishkan, we're not looking at how the Mishkan ran, we're looking at how the Mishkan was set up. That's clear. Rashi's consistent that way almost entirely consistent that way. So when you're going to look for each malacha, you're going to look in the building of the Mishkan according to Rashi. However, the Eglei Tal points out in the Psicha that Rav Avram ben Harambam quotes in the name of Rav Haigon. You always wonder, like, would Rav Avram ben Harambam, had he not been the Rambam's son, like, what would have been? Would we know his name even more or less? You know, is it like, because he was Rav Avram ben Harambam, so his whole life was just defending his father, he could never shine himself? Or, you know, it was like, he would have been one of the Gedolei Rishonim that we would always quote, Elamai, compared to the Rambam. You know, it was just very, I don't know. But anyway, so Rav Avram ben Harambam quotes from Rav Haigon. She'elu ha'achadas ha'melachas yeshem b'kar metamid b'chol yom b'chvite kohen gadol b'milum kulon mizar v'katzir v'chein b'garsin pergma atom ne'heim zaru atem lo tizreim kodra atem lo tiktzeru. Meaning, he describes the chavite kohen gadol, the kar metamid b'chol yom, and he says, look at what they did to bring those karbanos, and then you're going to find the malachos. Very, very clearly setting it up that it's based on the karbanos, not based on the building of the Mishkan alone. Not based on the building of the Mishkan alone. Now, to be clear about this, when the Eglei Tal in the Psicha sets up this Chakira, is it about Binyan HaMishkan, or is it about functioning of the Mishkan? The way he sets it up is it about Binyan HaMishkan exclusively, or is it also about the functioning of the Mishkan? Rashi says Binyan HaMishkan exclusively. Rav Haigon says not only Binyan HaMishkan. Also, some of the malachos may come from Binyan HaMishkan, but also fair game to look at how the Mishkan runs to find malachos from there as well. The Mishnah Daf Tzadi Beis says that if a person carries in his left hand or his right hand or against his body, he's chayiv. Unlike, let's say, ksiva. If you're kosev b'smol and you're not a lefty, so then it would be kala achriyad. It would be malacha kala achriyad. It would be considered a shinoi. But when you carry something, right, if you see the person carrying something, you can't tell if the person is a lefty or a righty necessarily based on how they're carrying something, because we use both hands to carry things. So Rashi quotes Rav Haigon that we know this from avoda, because some of the avoda is done with the left and some of the avoda is done with the right hand. Rashi and Daf Tzadi Beis. See, Rashi himself quotes Rav Haigon that he derives it from avoda and not from binyan hamishkan. So even though the Rav Haigon is known from Rav Ben Arambam, Rashi himself quotes that Rav Haigon as well. Rashi has a different explanation for himself in terms of the left and the right, and you know how we know that. But that's what he quotes from Rav Haigon. Now, the Eglei Tal tries to explain this machlokas a little bit. And he writes that according to Rashi, when it says, Heim zaru v'atem lo tizru, it doesn't mean that the Jewish people planted after we were commanded to build the Mishkan because we had everything, it can't be that we first planted at that point because we already had much of the stuff that we needed. Meaning, it means that these activities in general that would be necessary should not be done on, that would be necessary to prepare a Mishkan should not be done on Shabbos, but not specifically because we actually did this to build the Mishkan. Meaning, what happens? Hashem comes and Hashem says, don't violate Shabbos, also build me a Mishkan. So when Hashem said build me a Mishkan, did we right away go out and start planting and plowing and winnowing and like in order to get the Mishkan together? Is that how it worked? I don't know. We had the Atzei Shittim, we had them in Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avinu, we had that for a long time. We didn't have to plant that. What if we had all this stuff? What if we already had all of our Tchelis and our Gaman and we had already our Rosalim? Did we need to like make new ones? In order, just because Hashem said build a Mishkan. So the way the Eglei Tal explains, Rashi would say, no, obviously, if the malachos of the Mishkan are derived from what's necessary to put a Mishkan together, it's not that we actually did it when we were commanded to build a Mishkan. It's what we would have needed to do if we were starting from square one, if we were starting from zero. Whereas, according to Rav Haigon, that it's based on that it's based on the avoda of the Mishkan, based on what we did in the Mishkan. So it's more simply, once we're commanded to do malachas Mishkan, so we planted and harvested for the avoda, and those malachas that we needed to do for the avoda are asur to do on Shabbos. If we say it's based on avodah, it would mean anything that we would have to do is automatically included. But when it comes to binyan, it's not something that we did upon being commanded. When Hashem said to build the Mishkan, we didn't go and then plant. But planting is something that would have been done in order to be able to access wood to build. So that's the way that Eglei Tal phrases it. He starts off with two chakirus. Chakira number one, is it binyan or is it avodah? Chakira number two is when Hashem told us to build the Mishkan, did we then go around and start doing all the melachos of Shabbos, or did we have some of them prefabricated, pre-done from before? And he said the two are tali zebezeh. Those two issues are tali zebezeh. That if you hold that the melachos of the Mishkan are based on binyan, so then we must have had some stuff from before. But if you hold it's based on the avodas of the Mishkan, then we didn't have anything from before. Then it's what we had to do at that moment, right? The way the Eglei Tal formulates it is that the how do we learn that just because of the juxtaposition of Shabbos and Mishkan that these are the 39 melachos that are also doing Shabbos? So the way he formulates it is that really there are two din. There's the core din. The core din that the Torah is really teaching us is Hashem tells us you have to observe Shabbos. Then Hashem tells us, build a Mishkan. The core din in that, right there, is that you're not allowed to sacrifice Shabbos for building the Mishkan. You can't compromise on Shabbos just to do a Mishkan. So even though there's a mitzvah to build a Mishkan, you can't compromise on Shabbos. Elamai, what emerges from that, is that the 39 melachos of Shabbos are the things you need for a Mishkan. Otherwise, what do you mean? I can't sacrifice Shabbos to do a Mishkan. Who says that it's a sacrifice of Shabbos to do a Mishkan? The core limud, though, is just the fact that the juxtaposition of the two tells me that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to build a Mishkan. Once you're telling me that, now I know what Chil Shabbos is. Now I know Chil Shabbos are all the things you need for a Mishkan. That's it's the core limud is not that whatever was done in the Mishkan was is called the Melech Shabbos. That only emerges from the fact that the Torah is telling me that Hashem instructed us that we're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to take care of the Mishkan. So Elamai, the definition of Chil Shabbos, whatever's done in the Mishkan. Right, is that machriach necessarily that all 39? Meaning maybe one of them. Maybe there's one of them that's necessary. So don't do that one, right? That's what you said. Meaning is it logically compelling? It's not logically compelling, I guess, but maybe that's like that Ramban was saying that we had to know that there was 39 to go back to what was done in the Mishkan. Now, my nafkamina between Rashi and Rav Haigon, any nafkaminas, whether it was it's a matter of accounting. You know, you have to account for everything, make sure the balance sheet is even, whatever. I don't know what accountants do, but you guys, but when my father, and my wife, but I are all accountants. I have no idea what they do. You have to make sure. You have to just make sure that everything is taken care of. Okay, I want to figure out where Bishul, where Afia happens. So okay, I have to figure out, was it in the running of the Mishkan, the preparation of the Mishkan? It's an accounting thing. No. Is there any like nafkamina? Does it really matter where I learn it from? So there are several nafkamina. The Eglei Tal points out most of them. First of all, the Mishnah Shabbos Kufmem Gimlam Beis says that ain't sochten the saperos lotzim en mashkin. That you're not allowed to do schitas peros on Shabbos. Melach d'oraisa to squeeze a grape or an olive on Shabbos. And the Gemara says that Zeisim Anavim are the Yisidaraisa, Tutim V'rimonim, we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, we'll get to it eventually. Tutim V'rimonim are only Amit Rabbanan to squeeze out on Shabbos. Tutim V'rimonim means anything that's normally juiced. Apparently they used to juice only strawberries and pomegranates. I don't know, they didn't juice oranges and apples and things like that. So that's that was the example always of normally juiced fruits. Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Chav, but sharperos, no one ever juices them. I don't know, you ever see like these juice bars? You know, they have like, they're fruits and vegetables I can't even identify. And they, which is not a chiddush, but they juice them. I don't know if there are any peros that people don't juice anymore. I think Shmir Shabbos points out that there's like nothing left, that people don't, maybe an onion. Right? I don't know if anyone juices onions or leeks. I don't know. Leeks, I bet they do. But I don't know. I don't know what. So tutim v'rimonim means an example of something that would normally be juiced. So the Mishnah in Shabbos tells us you're not allowed to be sochi peros. Peros means zaysim v'anav nizmisidareisos. So Rashi writes, why? Because it's mefarik, it's a tolda of dash. It's a tolda of dash. Dash is threshing, you're taking the kernel from inside the chaff, is that what it's called? Right? The good from inside the bad. So the Eglital in Melechas Dash, in Sif Yud Zayin, Sifkat Yizayin Osir Aleph, says that this is Rashi Lishitaso, because you learn Melechah from the construction, not from the Avoda. So squeezing olives and grapes were never done in the building of the Mishkan. Squeezing olives and grapes were done all the time in the functioning of the Mishkan, because they needed yayin l'nesachim and shemen l'nesachim. They always needed yayin and shemen. They needed shemen l'menachos. They always needed yayin and shemen in the Mishkan. So squeezing olives and grapes happened all the time in the functioning of the Mishkan. So it's not. So why does Rashi say it's not an av malacha? Rashi calls it, oh, it's a tolda. It's a tolda of dash. Why is it a tolda of dash? Because it wasn't done in the preparation of the Mishkan. Rav Heigel learns Melech HaShabbos from Avoda. So squeezing olive and grapes for the sake of Nesachim and Menachos is an Av Melacha. That it's not a Tolda. It's a Melacha Daraisa, an Av Melacha Daraisa, not a Tolda. So Nafkamina number one between Rashi and Rav Heigel is whether Shechita is an Av Melacha or a Tolda. My Nafkamina, whether something is an Av Melacha or a Tolda. Okay, so that maybe we'll say for tomorrow. There are Nafkaminas whether something is an Av Melacha or a Tolda. But Nafkamina number one is Shechita, an Av Melacha or a Tolda. Another nafkamina, the Aglital writes by Melechas Dash, Sivkat Mechavches Osir Aleph, in the name of the Aruch, that Melila, the rolling of grains, is Asur Midaraisa. The Rambam says that it's only Midrabanan. So the Aglital explains that the Rambam is Lishitasa, that according to Rav Haigon, who derived Melech Shabbos from Vodas HaKarbanos, we can learn from Karban Omer that Melila is an Av Melacha and is Asur and Shabbos. I'm sorry, the Rambam and the Gaon, the Aruch B'Shem Gaon, are each Lishitasa. According to Rav Haigon, who derives Melech Shabbos from Vodas HaKarbanos, so you can learn from Karban Omer, because Melila is an Av Melacha, because it's done in the preparation of the Karban Omer, in the Avodah of the Karban Omer. But according to the Rambam, who derives only from the construction of the Mishkan, there was no Melila in the Binyan HaMishkan, therefore it can only be Asur Midrabanan. There's no basis for it to be Asur Midaraisa. So that's a big Nafkamina. Now it's not just Aver Tolda, it's Drabanan or Daraisa. It's rolling grains, and it's a Drabanan or it's a Daraisa. A third Nafkamina, in Melechus Kotzer, Sivkat and Beis, the Eglei Tal says, the issue of whether Ketzitzas Eitzim is an Aver Tolda depends on this Machlokas. Right, the Jewish people cut wood for the Mishkan while they were still in Mitzrayim, which is way before we were commanded about the Mishkan. So according to Rashi, that we learn Melech HaShabbos even from that which was before the Sivoya Mishkan, so it's possible for Ketzitzas Seisim to be an Av Melacha. Because, like we said before, Rashi holds that even that which happened before we were commanded, it could still be an Av Melacha. But according to Rav Haigon, that you can only learn from what we did once we were commanded, so Ketzitzas Seisim is not an Av Melacha, because we didn't do that once we were commanded. Once we were told to build the Mishkan, we know that that was there before.
Can you explain why
I think the understanding is that otherwise, why bother? Why would you assume it's about the Melech's Avodah? Meaning even Rav Hai agrees that the preparation of the Mishkan. So why doesn't he just go with Rashi? Just say everything that's in the preparation. Elamai, there are certain things that won't be covered, and he's going to have to use the Avodas HaMishkan to fill them in. So when you have something that wasn't done in the Avodas HaMishkan, and it wasn't done after the Tzivoy HaMishkan and the building of the Mishkan, so then it just doesn't belong. Yeah. No, that's in the Avodah. Right, not in the Binyan, yeah. Right, that's why the Fi Rashi and Rambam, it would be the Rabbana. No. Rav Hai says whatever's done in the actual functioning of the Mishkan and Binyan Mishkan, meaning Rav Hai is open to either as a source for an Av Melacha. Rashi's only open to Binyan and Mishkan. Rav Hai is open to either one. So yeah, so the Melila is going to be Daraisa according to Ravai. According to Rashi, it's not going to be Daraisa.
How does it understand the Gemara that Rashi was coming from and I gave him with
the Fiyah, was not the Mishkan, but official was? So we'll get there. That's next. Nafkamina number four is. Okay, we'll get there in a second. Yeah.
Do they still need wood for the Karbanos? And I've got the word that they bring these piles of wood.
Right, the Maracha and the Gzirates, and yeah, so the Achronim point that out, that it doesn't really work out. Now it goes with Hidushim, he points out that they clearly had to cut more wood for the Atzei Maracha and for the Shnei Gzirates, and so even according to Rav Haigon, it should really be an Av Malacha. So that's probably not a great Nafkamina. Good. Another Nafkamina is about the Malacha of Ofer. The Mishnah lists Afia as one of the Lamitas Malachos. The Gemara Ayin Dalet Amud Beis says, Amar Rav Papa, Shava Ktana Didan Bishul Samanim to have a Mishkan V'Nakad Ofer. How come you abandoned Bishul, which was actually done in the Mishkan, and instead you mention Ofer? So Tan Dan Sidur the Pasnaka. The Gemara says, yeah, but like we said before, try to make it easy to remember. We just go with Sidur the Pas. So if we learn from Karbanos, Afia can be an Av Malacha, because they bake the Minchas Tamid every day, and they bake the Chavite Koin Gadol every day. But if it's derived from Binyan HaMishkan, there was no Afia in Binyan HaMishkan. In fact, the Yerushalmi, in the 7th paragraph of Shabbos, says Afia is Tolda, the Bishul. That Afia is actually a Tolda, it's not at the Av Malacha, it's only a Tolda of Bishul. However, it is possible that Afia is an Av even if we learn the malachas from Binyan HaMishkan. Because the Rambam, in the 9th paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam writes, Echad ha'ofe es ha'pas, o ha'mavashel es ha'machal, o es ha'samanim, o ha'mechamim es ha'mayim, hakol inyan echad hu. So the Rambam, Afia, Bishul, you know, like, how many chilukim are you going to make? And what if you air fry it? And what if you sous vide, and what if you know, like, there are a million ways to cook something, and what if you cook it on 350 for an hour or 400 for a half hour? You know, like, there are a million chilukim you can make in cooking. So bishul, frying, tigun, afia, it's all the same. It's just all the same idea. So he uses the word afia because that's the word that's what you do when you're baking bread, and sidur the pas is easier to remember. But it's not that it's a Tolda or anything. It is the Av Malacha, because it's all one thing. The definition is all the same. That's the reason the Rambam has to tell me that it's in Yin Echad is because Afia is not done in Binyan Mishkan. So he needs to tell me that it would still be an Av. Rashi and Ayin Dalet Amud Beis in the Ibrahim Askel Sidura also indicates that baking and cooking are all the same, because he writes Va'ofa b'makom bishul d'samanim hu dav bishul do bishul de pas, that it is the bishul that you do on bread. How do you bake? How would you do cooking on bread? You do afia. So it's all the same. It's all the same in. So again, according to Rashi and the Rambam, in Achinami, everything is derived from the preparation of the Mishkan. Where was afia in the preparation of the Mishkan? There wasn't afia in the preparation of Mishkan, but it's still called an Av Malacha, because afia and bishul are the same thing. They're not different from each other. According to Rav Haigon, afia is the Av Malacha. Oh, but you know, Eli was asking, you were saying the other way, right? You were asking... The Gemara says that Shavak Tana Bishul, which was actually in the Mishkan, and Nakat afia, which was not in the Mishkan. It could be that the Gemara was asking that, again, even according to Rav Haigon, preparation of the Mishkan also counts. So why would you leave aside Bishul, which was done both in preparation and in the Mishkan, right? And it was done for both, and instead pick Afia. Sidur de Pas Nakat.
Wouldn't Paskin that Bishul and Afia are different in that?
We'll get to Ein Bishul Achar Afia. Yesh Bishul Achar Afia. We'll have to see. But okay. But this is.
Isn't that why we require fire tashilim both pas and tashil?
Maybe that's only a chumra. I mean, it happens to be that it's only a chumra, but that we do that. So okay. There's meaning. It's at least in the realm of possibility that these two are really a description of the same basic idea. I want to get to one more point today, and that is, what is the purpose of Shemir Shabbos? I'm not going to get to, this is not a drush. What is the purpose of Shemir Shabbos? According to the Torah. So the Torah tells us in the Aseres HaDibros that Zachar Shem HaShabbos Kacho, but the Torah also tells us that Lo Sasa Kol Melacha. Why? Ki Shesh Yom Asa Hashem Es Shemayim Es Haaretz Es Yom Es Kol HaShabbam Vayyanach B'Yom HaShvi. So why do we observe Shabbos? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in 6 days and he rested on Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yates and Beis Amar Rav Nuna Kol Mespal Be'Rav Shabbos V'Amar Yechulu Ma'al Avakasav Kilu Nasa Shutuf HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereshis. That you treat Shabbos properly, and it's as if you participated in Maisa Bereshis. The Zohar in Raya Mehemna says that the 39 malachos are the malachos that Hashem rested from in Maisa Bereshis. Meaning, how did Hashem create the world? He did 39 malachos. Okay, I don't know how that actually, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know how you build a mountain, but maybe there's some winnowing involved. I don't know. But he did the 39 malachos in creating the world. There's some symmetry there, right? Hashem did the lametos melachos to create Shemayim Baretz. We build the Mishkan, which is a makom hashoras hashchina. Hashem built us a home with the 39 melachos. We use those same 39 melachos to build Him a home, right? There's a certain amount of symmetry there. The Ramban in the Dibroshnios in the Parsh Veschanan says that it's also a testimony to Yitzias Mitzrayim. I'm sorry, that Yitzias Mitzrayim is also a testimony to creation. If you have any doubts about what Shabbos is supposed to represent, just look at Yitzias Mitzrayim, says Ramban. Shabbos is a zeichel to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim is a zeichel to Shabbos. Each one is mashlim the other one. So there's some deep connection between Shabbos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Maisa Bereshis. Now clearly Shabbos and Yitzias Mitzrayim are connected, because the Gemara Pesach and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin and Beis tells us that you have to be Maskir Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush Hayom. Right? K'sif Hacha, L'man Tizkar Es Yom Tzeischa, U'K'sif Hasam Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos Kacha. L'man Tizkar, Zachar, Zachira, Zachira, so I have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. Not Yotzi Kiddush without Zachiras Mitzrayim. So what's Shabbos about? Shabbos is about remembering Maisa Bereshis and remembering Mitzrayim. Those are not two separate things, because Maisa Bereshis and Mitzrayim connect to each other. That's what the Ramban explains. If you have a moment where you forget that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, remember what you saw in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. So they're sort of mashlim each other. Tosfos in Pesachim over there, in Kuf Yizayin and Beis, further highlights that the Lamed Tes Malachos were established as a Zeich Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tosfos writes that in Mitzrayim, the work that we did was Avodas Parech, and Parech Ba'at Bash V'gal is Arbaim Chazrachas. If you use the gematria of Ad Bash, Pei Reish Chaf, you figure it out, it turns out to a gematria of 39. So it says to us, the Avodas Parech that we did in Mitzrayim were exactly the 39 Malachos, which is very mistaken, by the way. Because what happened? We had to build the Mishkan. So we said, Kol Nativ Lev, if anyone want to volunteer? So if someone were to ask you, we need a new, name of Malacha. We need a new weaver. So you're going to volunteer? What do you know about weaving? How do you know how to weave? Oh, what's your experience? Well, I was a slave. It's not going to help me. I need someone who knows how to weave. Right? And I called him the slave. Everyone started volunteering for everything. So how did we know what to volunteer? So says Tosfos, so we were trained. This is what we did in Mitzrayim for all those years. We knew exactly how to do these 39 malachas. The Ramban ala Torah is not the way. The Ramban says that's the Nadiva slave. The Nadiva slave is we had no clue. And we were still willing to volunteer. We could have said, let Betzal do it. He seems to have like some sort of godly assistance. You know, let him figure it out. But we all wanted to volunteer. That's the Nadiva slave that we were interested in volunteering, even though we mamish had no idea what we were doing. Which is a good eitzah. If you want to get something, if you want to show that you're really interested in getting something done, you volunteer even if you don't know how to do it. I heard Rabbi Saul Reisman say in one of his shiurim, Rabbi Saul Reisman from Torah Vadas said that some of us met last year, said that that when his talmidim start working, he always tells them, do whatever they tell you, even if it means you're going to have to ask how. Just never say that whenever they tell you to do something, never say, I don't know how to do that. You know, I can't do that. Say, of course I'll do it. Can you tell me how? You know, volunteer to do it, and then you'll figure out how to do it. You'll find someone who can coach you. Always be someone who's positive who can figure out a way to do it. That's how the Ramban understands. But based on Tosfos, maybe they knew how to do all these malachas. How's the Avodas Parach of Mitzrayim? Now it's interesting because in Kiddush, You know, the Gemara says you need to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. That sounds like a real din. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chav tells us that Nashim are chayiv in Kiddush Hayom Dvar Torah, Midaraisa. Bir Alach in Reisha in Aleph writes that it's a mitzvah daraisa, lekala poskim, from the fact that it's a zachris yom shabbos akasha. So what exactly do you have to do to be yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush on a daraisa level? Three way machlokas rishonim, right? There's the Mefarish in Nazir. It's also Shitas Rashi, even though the Mefarish isn't Rashi. But it happens to be Shitas Rashi. Maybe it's one of the reasons the Mefarish was confused for Rashi. It's Rashi in Sefer Pardes, okay? You know, but the Mefarish in Nazir says to be Yotzei Kiddush Daraisa. Anyone know this one? It's like a collector's item. Not just Al Yayin, you have to actually drink the Yayin, right? That even drinking the Yayin is Minatara. Then the Balei Tosfos quote Shitos that Al HaYayin is Min HaTorah, that you need to even say Kiddush Al HaYayin. But the Rov Rishonim, the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch, and Rov Rishonim assume Kiddush B'dvarim is enough. You just have to say nice things about Shabbos. Divrei Shavach V'Kiddush B'Shabbos. Magen Avraham writes in Reish Ayin Aleph, and therefore you Yotze, and there's a famous Togum Ravava, which I'm going to say, and therefore you Yotze Kiddush and Davening. Kiddush D'Oraisa, you Yotze and Davening. On Friday night, in Friday night davening. One little problem. If you look at Friday night Shemona Esrei, what's it missing? Yetzias Mitzrayim. Well, the Gemara says in Pesachim Kuf Yud Zayin, you need to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim Kiddush, otherwise you're not Yotzei. So how could it be that the Magen Avraham says you Yotzei Kiddush in davening on Friday night? It's a Gemara Mefureshes that you need to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. Because after all, Yetzias Mitzrayim is a key theme of Shabbos. So Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Lamed Aleph asks this question. How could it be Yotzei in davening? You need to mention it. Yontif would be good, right? Yontif would be good, because Yontif we do mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. But in Shabbos davening we don't. So Minchas Chinuch writes that Al Kolpanim B'Nusach Didan She'enu Maskir Yetzias Mitzrayim Li B'Yomar Betach Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach Te'eni Yotzei Min HaTorah Klal V'Chal Av Mitzvah Satara. He says, Enachinami, you're not Yotzei in davening. There must be some other, there's no way. It can't be Yotzei Davening. That's how he answers Dogum Ravavas Kasha. So everyone's still Chayiv Midaraisa when they come home, because you weren't Yotzei Davening. Okay. The Bir Halacha says, Shamati Sheb Sefer Minchas Chinuch Gamkin Hifli Bezeh. He said, I heard that the Sefer Chinuch wonders about this on the Magen Avraham. And therefore, he passes against the Magen Avraham. He passes that you don't need to you're not Yotzei Davening. You need Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ulenias dait Yesh Liashiv says the Biralacha. Yesh Liashiv Dvar Ktsas. Od Sover Du Rak Mi Drabanan. Maybe when the Gemara says you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's only Drabanan. But the Gemara quoted Gzeres Sheva. Asmachta. Right? Whenever you have a Drasha Daraisa that's not convenient. Asmachta. Od Sover Diyotzi Ben HaTorah. Kamashi Hiskir Yetzias Mitzrayim Samach Letvila. Bimashi Hiskir Yetzias Mitzrayim Samach Letvila. Or it could be that he holds that you are Yotzei min HaTorah because you mentioned Yetzias Mitzrayim near Tefila. It doesn't go exactly at the same time, but Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned in the Birchas Kriyas Shema. Okay. But maybe a third approach. There is a Rambam. This I heard from Rav Yonasan Sacks. There's a Rambam that there's such a thing as a L'chadchila and Mitzvah min HaMuvchar Midaraisa and a B'diavad Midaraisa. The Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, writes, "Mitzvah l'spal b'chayom shemar v'adam m'sham l'kechem." And he says, "Chiyuv mitzvah zu kachu." How do you do Tefillah? Describing the mitzvah in the Torah. She'adam mischanin m'spal b'chayom m'magid shivcho shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu va'achar kach shol tzrachu v'shu tzarich lehem bebakashu b'tchina va'achar kach nosin shavu v'adoy el Hashem al hatova she'shbiyah lo kolach lefi kocho. What does he describe? He describes the three parts of Shemoneh Esrei: the shevach, the bakasha, the hodah. He's defining a mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah, and included in his definition is shevach, bakasha, and hodah. Mevur from the Rambam, Rav Shach quotes this in the Hakdamah Tavi Ezri, I think. Mevur from the Rambam that's d'oraisa, that all that's d'oraisa. Question is, the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Kovav that midaraisa you only need to daven once a day. And that's why most women don't daven consistently, because as soon as they wake up in the morning, they say Eza Bakasha. And Midaraisa Daibaza. Midaraisa is just saying some sort of Bakasha. But if you hold that Bakasha, Shevach Bakasha, and Hoda, that the format of Tefillah is Daraisa, So how is that not, how are you yotze? It's just some sort of bakasha. So Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Tav Lamed Gimel, seems to confirm this, because he quotes the Rambam and he says that a very abbreviated tefillah works, min haTorah, even though l'chora doesn't seem to meet the Rambam's requirements. So Sefer HaChinuch seems to assume, it is a requirement midaraisa l'chadchila, but there's a b'dievet midaraisa. The b'dievet midaraisa is to not do it that way. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have to daven. That's a mitzvah min haTorah. I need some guidance. So he'll give us some guidance also, but only as a l'chadchila. But b'dievet you don't say without that guidance also. So it's possible a kiddush is similar. That we should say divrei shavach v'kiddush, and should also include Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Yetzias Mitzrayim is for the mitzvah min hamuvchar. It's not li'ikuvah. I mean, there's the core kiddush, and then there's the add-on as the way to do it is mitzvah min hamuvchar to highlight the theme of Shabbos as being a zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, we'll stop there. So today, essentially, what we did is what the sources of Avos Melachos of Shabbos, the famous machlokas of Haigon and Rashi, all the nafkaminas, and Bezrem tomorrow, the plan is to go through a little bit about Avos and Toldos. Avos and Toldos in Shabbos versus Avos and Toldos in Kol HaTorah Kula. Is that a concept that applies in Kol HaTorah Kula? And how many areas in Kol HaTorah Kula? We'll try to like zoom out and look broadly through Shas for that. Okay, have a great day, everybody.